All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. Welcome to Straight from His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle.
Dear my fathers, thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, your compassion. Lord, we thank you for the love of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the gift of eternal life. We thank you, Heavenly Father, we've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and that the power of sin has been broken over our lives today. We thank you for your mercy, your grace, your compassion. We thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, oh God. We thank you that you loved us enough to send your Son to die for us on the cross at Calvary, that his precious blood was shed for the remissions of our sins. And today, Lord, we offer the sacrifice of praise. You're worthy of all praise, you're worthy of all glory, and you're worthy of all honor. Lord, I thank you for the mighty outpouring of your Holy Spirit, oh God. I thank you, Lord God, for releasing the healing anointing to drive out the spirit of sickness, disease, and infirmity in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for the gift of faith being activated in the lives of your people, oh God. May we begin to walk and operate in the gift of faith as never before, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for driving out lung cancer and emphysema in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for healing bladder cancer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for that tumor being dissolved in the kidney in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for healing kidney cancer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for healing leukemia. Thank you for leukemia being healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you. I thank you for releasing your angels to push back the forces of darkness over this area and over the region, that the strong man will be bound in Jesus' mighty name, and that the glory of the Lord might be revealed, that your people might experience an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord God, that you would stir in the hearts of your people, Lord God, that you would give your people a desire to serve you, desire to know you, desire to seek your face, a desire to seek your face in your word, oh God. Give us that hunger. Give us that hunger. Give us that hunger in the name of Jesus. And God, I pray for the pastors in this region. Lord God, let the mantle of prayer and intercession fall upon them. Lord God, I pray that you would give them spiritual wisdom, spiritual discernment of the condition of their congregations. Lord God, that they began to pray as never before for a move of the Holy Spirit, that the man-made structure would be torn down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the glory of the Lord might be revealed, that your name might be exalted among the heathen. And Lord, I thank you. I pray for your blessing to be over this teaching today. Let our hearts be open to receive in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Welcome to Straight From His Word. It's a blessing to be with you once again to share the word of God. Truly, we serve a mighty God. As always, I'm just grateful and thankful for the opportunity and the privilege to be on the airwaves with you. To the first time listeners, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Straight From His Word. I'm not the typical radio preacher. Give it to you straight with no sugar added. You hear me say this over and over again. We're living in the last days. We're living in the perilous times. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ is imminent. The urgency for us to seek God's face, to get in that position, to be in a relationship with him, because God desires to reveal himself to us. He's calling us to walk in a relationship with him, that we might know him, not know of him, but we might know him, so that when we testify to others, our testimony is about who we really know, who the Lord Jesus Christ is, as our Lord and as our Savior and as our Redeemer. Glory to God. You know, saints, you know, I'm just, we're in the series called Lord, Show Us Your Glory. And, you know, I've just been contemplating and looking at what's happening in the world scene and what's happening to our country. And I'm just like, God, I know your people got to see this and they have to be troubled by what we see and what's taking place with the infanticide and the issue with abortion and same-sex marriages and all of these things like that. And I'm like, we should be crying out, God, send revival. God, send revival. We need revival in the churches in America. We need revival in our personal lives. We need to be staring and say, God, we need to get to the place, Lord, that we have a desire to do your will. We have a desire to know you and a longing to know you. As we've been in this series, Lord, show us your glory. We were left off in Ephesians chapter 4. We were talking about the fivefold ministry and the purpose of the fivefold ministry and how, as we begin to operate in it, as the fivefold ministry begins to function the way that God designed it to function, I believe we begin to see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. I believe we begin to see the manifestation of God's power and glory as never before, because we're actually doing it God's way. In Ephesians chapter 4, let's go there, saints. And in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about the unity of the Spirit and talks about the ministry gifts of the church. And it says in verse number 11, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. And that's considered the fivefold ministry that God has established, that God has set in the church. And the purpose of this particular fivefold ministry is to work as a unit, to work as one, flowing in the power of the Holy Spirit, that the glory of the Lord might be revealed and that the believers would come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, as if for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things which is in the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compact, but that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love, and realizing the fact that God has established a fivefold ministry to operate in the church. You have the apostolic ministry and you have the prophetic ministry. In most churches and mainline denominations, they have the pastor and they have the teacher. Some have the evangelistic ministry, but they've left off the apostolic and the prophetic ministry. Many preachers have basically said and denominations say, well, those ministry gifts, those offices no longer exist. But if God had set something in the church, it's there. And who are we to say it's not relevant for us today? Now, on the flip side of that, we do have people, we do have movements going on where everyone wants to be called an apostle and everybody wants to be called a prophet, and understanding that God is the one who appoints people to these offices, particularly the prophetic ministry. The prophetic office existed before the church was ever even established, starting in the book of Genesis. So realizing the fact that what God will do, particularly with the prophetic ministry, a person who is called to be the prophet, most of the time we think because somebody can prophesy, the gift of prophecy, we call them a prophet. No, that's one of the ministry gifts, a gift of the gift of prophecy that does not make them a prophet. The same thing where we have people running around calling themselves apostle this and apostle that, and realizing the fact that the term apostle means to be sent, and realizing that the purpose of the apostolic ministry is to build and to establish churches and to be an overseer and in doctrine and teaching and all of those things like that, with signs and wonders and miracles confirming the apostolic ministry. Because when you look at the apostolic ministry of the apostles, they all moved in the gifts of miracles and signs and wonders. The true apostolic ministry, there is going to be genuine miracles and signs and wonders. So we get caught up in these titles. And it's not the title, but it's the appointment by God that has positioned people to walk in his place, so that the church, the body of believers, that we can come into the unity of the faith and we will be aware of what is sound teaching, what is sound doctrine. And we've gone away from what is sound teaching and what is sound doctrine. And I'll be part of the problem that we're experiencing in the body of Christ today is because we've not done it God's way. We've not allowed the Holy Spirit of God to run the churches, to run us, to be yielded vessels that we might be. You see, the purpose when God gave us the Holy Spirit is so that we would learn how to live and walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. Because as we begin to walk a Spirit-led and a Spirit-filled life, we won't make so many mistakes. But because this part of the ministry is not functioning, it's not operating in the church and the body of Christ today, we have what we have, and we have all these different types of teachings and doctrines and things that are not according to God's word, and it has caused people to go astray and people not to know the God of the Bible, and it has caused people not to have a covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ because they've been deceived. I call it hybrid Christianity, because we have more of the spirit of the world and the spirit of man instead of the Spirit of God moving and operating in the church. And you hear me saying, you hear me preaching, talk about miracles and signs and wonders and healings. And, you know, we had the testimony of Sister Lynn on how God restored her healing, and God has healed her and delivered her of so many things. She has such a great and a powerful testimony, to where we're no longer even excited about someone being healed. But in the early church, when somebody got healed, it sparked revival in the city. People were amazed and they were excited because they said, oh, my God, the power of God is here. And people sought Jesus because of the miracles and the signs and wonders. When Jesus began to heal the sick and cast out devils and raise the dead, the crowds began to come out of nowhere because they said, for the first time, there is someone who can deal with the demonic element. The spirit of darkness is being defeated, and somebody has authority as never before because they had never seen anything like that. Oh, man, you say, well, go with me to Mark chapter 1. Glory to God. You're listening to straight from his word. You know, I give you chapter and verse, and it's extremely important that we understand that when Jesus came to confront the kingdom of darkness. There was going to be an engagement because the enemy had lied and deceived people, and people were in bondage and people were in captivity. And this is what real ministry is. And in the Gospel of Mark chapter 1 and verse number 7, you know what, we got to go with verse number 1 because, you know, it's one thing, you know, I don't like just skipping around scriptures. That's why we call it straight from his word, because it's the word of God that will sanctify. It's the word of God that will cleanse you. It's my desire. Well, first of all, God has given me this charge. He says, preach the word, give them chapter and verse. So then once you read it in the word, and then you can allow the spirit of God to work in you to say, well, yeah, that's Bible. Yeah, it's Bible, because we don't hear a lot of Bible. We don't hear a lot of preaching and teaching about Jesus. We hear more about preaching and teaching about relationships and our destiny and our purpose, but not about walking in a covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing who Jesus Christ is, because I believe that as we get to know him, we'll begin to fall in love with him. Amen. So in the Gospel of Mark chapter 1 says, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remissions of sins. Now, it's amazing that I tell people this, and you will hear me say this. You probably won't hear too many ministers or preachers say this. Is the message of repentance is not a negative message. It is a message of deliverance. God raised up John the Baptist to prepare the way, to prepare the people's hearts for the deliverance ministry that was going to follow when Jesus showed up on the scene, because the people began to repent of their sins. And it says, they went out to all of him, the land of Judea and of Jerusalem, and they were all baptized him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. You see, that's something that we don't want to deal with, the issue of confessing our sins today. You see, forgiveness comes by repenting and confessing our sins, whatever it might be. And we have to get to the place to where we say, you know what, Lord, forgive me for this. God, forgive me for that. Lord, I confess this, I confess that. The Bible declares that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness as a result of what Jesus did for us on the cross at Calvary. Therefore, when you make a confession of your sin is forgiven. Yes, there may be a consequence that will follow, but your sin is forgiven and you remain in a right standing, in a right relationship with God. Amen. And so they were confessing their sins, and it says, and John was clothed with camel's hair with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Jesus came to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. And we're talking about the dunamis. We're talking about the power to be able to go out and to be effective ministers for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and he was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open it, and the Spirit like a dove. The Holy Spirit is not a dove. The religious mindset, we've got the Holy Spirit. It says like a dove. There's a certain way that when a dove is descending, it says like a dove. Okay. Descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, yeah, and what was happening, it was the mantle of the Holy Spirit that was coming to fall on Jesus, by the way. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Holy Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, And he was there in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now, understand this fact that the Holy Spirit will lead you into conflict with the kingdom of darkness. I call it the engagement, because we see that, and if you track with me, saint, the Lord allowed Jesus to be driven to go into the wilderness and to allow Satan to tempt him in the most dire circumstances, the most dire environment. And he was, what he did and what he was able to accomplish in the wilderness, he was able to undo what Adam and Eve did in the perfect paradise. They were in the Garden of Eden and they had everything. And so when Satan came to tempt them, they had a perfect environment. Jesus was placed in the worst possible environment, and he was able to resist the temptation, so that when the enemy came to him, you know the story in Luke, that Jesus kept putting the word of God on him. He says, it is written, it is written, it is written. We use the word of God as our spiritual weapon to counterattack the voice of the enemy, that when the enemy begins to speak to us, we speak the word of God. Amen. And it says, now after that, John was put in prison, and Jesus came unto Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. He says, repent and believe the gospel. He didn't say, I love you. I want you to join the church. Oh, you're so precious. He says, repent and believe the gospel, believe the good news that God is a deliverer, that God is a healer, and that God is a restorer. It says, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, and I tell people, if Jesus preached the message of repentance, I'm going to preach the message of repentance. If Jesus told folk they need to repent, I'm going to tell folk they need to repent. I tell myself I need to repent. But we've gotten so proud and arrogant and puffed up as a result of this man-centered teaching that we don't even hear the word, a message of repentance. We don't tell people they need to repent. How many times often do you hear preachers on the radio at your church telling people we need to repent? They say, oh, that's negative. That's negative. You don't need to tell people to repent. We're the righteous of God. No, we need to repent. If we're living and walking in sin and rebellion and disobedience and grieving the Spirit of God, we need to repent. And when the Holy Spirit says repent, we repent. Amen. It says, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto him, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also was in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Now, you know, one thing about the calling into the ministry, you know, I sit back and think, wow, can you imagine to be selected as one of the 12? The privilege and the honor of being one of the 12. Well, when you become a believer in Christ, you become a son or daughter of the Most High God. You are grafted into God's family, which means you're God's child. There is no greater honor or privilege, no title greater than being known as a child of God, a daughter of God, a son of God. Oh, I wish somebody would say amen. We have that privilege as a result of what Jesus did on the cross at Calvary. And a lot of times when God calls you into ministry, he will call you off of your job. Or he will call you out of your place of employment. Or he will call you out of that familiar place to bring you into the new place. And this is something that I had to deal with and I struggled with. And I still struggle with today, you know, when I accepted the call into ministry. You have no idea when you say yes to the call. You have no idea what the call is going to entail. But I'm here to say, it's a privilege. It's an honor to be called by God to serve him in whatever capacity that God has placed on you. Some of you might not have one of the ministry offices or the fivefold ministry. There is actually the gift of administrations and helps, and there's different times, but just realizing the fact that out of all the people, God says, I want to use you for this purpose. That's an honor and a privilege. And we can choose to obey it or rebel and say, no, God, I'm not going to do it. In my own personal life, you know, I sit back and I look. I had dreams and hopes and dreams and goals. I wanted to be a professional football player. I wanted to go to the Olympics as a track star. I had all of these big goals and these big ambitions. I wanted to be a multimillionaire by the time I was 30. And as I look back over my life, I see how God ordered circumstances or how God intervened to get me to the place to where I'm at today. And I said, wow, really, God, that's how you did. That's how you did me, Lord. I sit back and I look and I see everybody doing this and doing that. And Lord, you tapped me to, you know, to be a preacher. Oh, and to deal with the rejection and the financial insufficiency and all of the lies and rumors and all of the things that goes into when you're truly submitted and sold out to God and all of the heartache. And it's just like, you know what, Lord, you know, there's a song that says, yes, if I told you what I really need, would you still say yes? And, you know, sometimes, you know, God makes you an offer you can't refuse. And a lot of times, you know, in my own personal life, like I contemplate, would I still say yes? I might try to do a little more negotiating before I said yes. But you know what? To see people's lives change, to see what God has done in people's lives, the few people that I've ministered to over the years of ministry, almost 30 years of ministry, and just seeing that, you know what, if one life is changed, if one person is saved, then it's worth it, because that's that one soul that will have the gift of eternal life, that when their soul is required, they will pass into eternity. So a lot of times, you know, when I'm feeling sorry for myself sometimes, I'm just like, Lord, I could have been doing this, I could have been doing that and everything. You know, a lot of my life decisions and the majority of all of my life decisions regarding careers, employment, all things have been as a result of my commitment to serve the Lord in ministry. And I sit back and look, God, you couldn't even use me like this. God, could you went on and let me make this coin and make this money? Lord, I could be a greater blessing if I was a multimillionaire. But I said, Lord, I made a vow to the Lord. God, wherever you call, I will preach what you tell me to preach. I will go where you tell me to go. And I made that vow. And I said, Lord, I will not compromise your word, and I will not prostitute this gift that you've given me once I embrace the gift, once I embrace the calling. We have to do the very same thing when we come to Christ, when we accept him as Lord and Savior. We have to make a vow. Say, Lord, I will serve you. I will yield and surrender my heart to you because you died for me on the cross at Calvary. And Lord, I owe you my life. And Lord, it's my desire to live for you, to serve you, to have a longing and desire to know you and to be in a relationship with you. Saints, I can't finish this today. Be praying for me at Straight Word Christian Ministries. I need your prayers. Your financial support, the Spirit of God moves you in the blessed ministry. Please be obedient to the Spirit of God. Pray for your family members and your loved ones that their hearts will be open to hear and to receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for your co-workers that they will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus Christ is Lord's return imminent. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The Bible commands us to do so by praying for the peace of Jerusalem and your Jewish brothers and sisters. God will bless you. And ask the Lord to release his mantle of prayer and intercession. Remember, Jesus Christ is Lord. His return imminent. I love you. Shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to Straight From His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle. If you'd like to contact Pastor Dermothy or send him a gift of support, the address is Straight Word Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington 98093. That's P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington 98093. Or you can call 253-431-7375. Again, 253-431-7375. On the web, it's straightwordministries.com. That's straightwordministries.com. Tune in again for more Straight From His Word. with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle.